Thank you for listening to the Limitless Spirit Podcast. This is the conversation about faith, hope, and the impact we're designed to make as Christians on the world around us. Your host, Helen Todd, the Vice President of World Missions Alliance, has spent over two decades traveling to the world's hotspots to meet the spiritual and physical needs of those who are desperate. She interviews guests from different walks of life whose stories, books, and ideas examine today's most pressing issues and challenges of being a Christian today and inspire you to action.
I said, Jesus, I ask you to show yourself to this man in this memory. I pray this in Jesus' name. And then I was just quietly praying for him. And it was quiet for a long time. And then all of a sudden, he just started weeping and sobbing. And then he just started shouting, I forgive my mother and father. I forgive my mother and father. A kind of dam had broken, and rivers of living water were then able to flow from him to his wife, to his daughters. And the devil was not getting the final say in the matter. Jesus was.
This was Perry Dodge. He and his wife, Diane, are Christian counselors and my guests on this episode of the Limitless Spirit Podcast. I'm Helen Todd. Perry was just sharing an incredible experience of a man going through a process called healing memories. It is a Holy Spirit-led exercise that involves remembering and healing from the past trauma. Both Perry and Diane are licensed psychotherapists with more than 25,000 client meetings to date. They have served as column writers for Marriage Magazine, hosted the weekly radio segment, The Marriage Minute, and have been featured on NBC, CBS, and Bot Radio Network. Healing memory prayer is grounded in Scripture and is empowered by the Lord. And if you or someone you know has unaddressed wounds from the past, this is the episode for you. Perry and Diane are going to share more about it in detail, so let's dive in. Hello, Perry and Diane. Welcome to the Limitless Spirit Podcast. I'm so excited to have you on the program today.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I have not known you for very long, but I'm very excited about the work that you're doing, which is your profession, but it also, in a sense, is your service to the Lord. So both of you are licensed psychotherapists and counselors. How did you feel called to this particular career?
I actually was interested in counseling when I was in the eighth grade, and I found that my friends would always come to me with their problems, and I assumed that, and that went on through high school. I assumed that when I went to college that my interests would change, but they never did. And then as I became older, I became a Christian, and then I wanted to specifically do Christian counseling.
And what about you, Perry?
Yeah, I had earlier had a career in education, and then the Lord worked through a number of counselors to really help me in a time of real crisis in my life and through a time of prayer. I just realized he was leading me to redirect my career path so I could help others find breakthrough as well.
So this seems to be like it's definitely a calling in your life. And the primary focus of your practice is marriages. Is that correct?
I would say that's one of our specialty areas, is helping people have awesome marriages.
In fact, the name of your website is Amazing Marriages, and I look forward to talking to you on that subject sometime in the future. But today we're going to talk about something different. Actually, in our conversation not long ago, Diane, you introduced me to the concept that was really unfamiliar to me before, and it's the concept of healing memories and how important it is to our emotional and spiritual health. So let's talk about that. What is healing memories?
Well, a lot of people, you know, that we come across and we've experienced ourselves will say, I know in my head that God loves me. I know he loves me in my head, but I don't feel it in my heart. And they really struggle with the ability to receive the love of God, and then also then to express it and deliver it to those around them. So what we've learned is just to allow the Holy Spirit more and more, as much as possible, into the counseling process. And it's really three R's, Helen. It's three R's: root, remain, and then reveal. Root, remain, and then reveal. So basically, first we pray, Holy Spirit, show this person the root cause or any root memory that has contributed to their distress right now. And then we're just quiet, and we just quietly pray and allow the Holy Spirit to show that person whatever he wants to. Then usually a memory does come up. And then the second R is remain. And we ask the person to then remain in that memory and tell us the sights, the sounds of that memory, no matter what it is. You know, often it is a scary memory, so it's not necessarily easy for the client. So this is all under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and we only do what they're comfortable with. The final R is reveal. The last thing we ask is, okay, Jesus, we ask you to reveal yourself right now to this person in this memory. Reveal yourself to them in Jesus' name. And so then we're quiet and we pray, and then God does what only he can do.
And I'll add a little bit to what Perry said. A key thing that we have found that's very important is forgiveness. One thing that can block the healing of memories is if somebody has bitterness or unforgiveness in their heart. And so we really start often working with the person. Is there any unforgiveness in their heart that they need to release? And we've found that when they can cleanse themselves of any bitterness, that the healing comes a lot easier and is more available.
This is very interesting. So how did the two of you become introduced to this concept of healing memories?
We went to a mental health and missions conference when we were first married, which was 20 years ago. And we weren't, of course, planning, but we ended up in a workshop with some missionaries, and they were doing this as missionaries. And they were talking about their experiences. And there was also, they also talked about the idea of deliverance as well. But they talked about this idea of healing of memories. And Perry and I were both really intrigued by it. And that was kind of the beginning of our journey to learn more about it. And we just continued to investigate and pray and learn what we could after that.
So are you familiar with where this concept even began? Like, what's the foundation, or perhaps a scriptural foundation?
Well, I think, yeah, one scriptural foundation is Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also, just the beautiful passage at the end of John where Jesus goes to Peter, and three times he says to him, Peter, do you love me? And he didn't ask him once, you know, he didn't ask him twice or four or five times, but it was specifically, you know, to give him restoration after he had, you know, renounced Christ. And also, obviously, just that in Joel 2:25, the Lord says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten.
That is very, very interesting. So let's go back to Jesus asking Peter three times. So you pointed out that Jesus, because I like to meditate on this particular scripture, and I think there's really a lot hidden in it. So you pointed out that Jesus specifically asked Peter three times, and you think this is related to healing Peter's memories?
Well, it also, obviously, it's reinstating him and bringing him back in close communion with him. But I'm sure Peter was in agony over how he had denied Christ three times, you know, right after he had sworn that he would die for him.
Right. This is the case where the relationship was broken in a sense, maybe not on Jesus's part because Jesus knew this all along, but for Peter, you know, being as devout of a follower and having gone through the betrayal had to be extremely traumatic. So since Jesus asked him three times, do you think it's connected to the concept of three R's, root, remain, and reveal?
Well, Helen, I never thought of that until you proposed that idea right now.
I like to established patterns in my mind. So when you said there was a specific number, I immediately connected it with your three R's. But something to think about. It is a very intriguing passage in scripture. Well, you mentioned that when you first got introduced to this concept, that it was not done by counselors or necessarily professionals, but it was done by missionaries. So do you think that the healing of memories can be done by anyone, by a lay person, or do you think it should be done really by a trained professional?
We would say it can definitely be done by a lay person, because what you're doing is you're relying on the great counselor, the Holy Spirit, and He's leading the way. He's showing you what the root is. He gives you the courage and the strength and the ability to remain in the memory. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal Himself inside the memory to bring healing. So anybody who's surrendered and dependent on the Holy Spirit can do that. Now, there are different ministries that provide training so that you can do it in a way that is protective of the person that you're ministering to. A couple of places that we like are Elijah House Ministries and also Christian Healing Ministries.
This is what I was thinking, because I think it can be very emotionally traumatic, the process for the person going through this. I think you have to be able to offer support or know when to stop, you know? But let's talk about examples. So how do you do that on a practical level? Let's talk about someone's story.
So several years ago, we had a woman come to us, and she wanted to do some prayer ministry and counseling with us. And she came to us because of she had a lot of emotional hurt from her past. She also told us that she had a physical problem that she remembers having ever since she was a toddler, which was some internal bleeding. And, you know, now 40 years later, when we meet her, she described carrying a cup around with her every single day of her life. And so that if she would spit up blood, she could spit it into the cup. And then at night, she would have a towel on her chest in case she spit up blood overnight. But the doctors had told her there wasn't really anything that they could do for her. So this was something that she had learned to live with. But the reason she came to us is because she had some terrible, traumatic childhood memories with her stepsister, who had introduced her to the occult. And her stepsister actually was a teenager, and she was just a very young girl. Her stepsister would take her to these meetings, and she viewed horrible things at the meeting. And what's interesting, she even gave us specific examples of a couple of different things that she viewed at those meetings. And I think they were so horrible that I blacked them out because I can't even remember what they were. But she had terrible resentment and bitterness towards this stepsister. And she didn't even like to say her name. And so we started to work with her on forgiving her stepsister, which is a really important part of healing of memories, because if there's unforgiveness, it can actually block the healing process. But forgiveness opens the door to healing. And so after several weeks, she had to process a lot of pain, a lot of resentment, and it was really important to do that with her. You know, the Bible says that we are to mourn with those who mourn. And so Perry and I really tried to sit with her and mourn just this terrible trauma she went through.
So how do you do it on a practical level? How do you mourn with her? Do you just affirm her hurt?
Number one is to listen and let the person tell the full story, and then ask questions, because the more they can talk about the story, the more they can grieve the pain. So we try to ask questions, and then we also will try to reflect back the story to them. Basically, we just repeat back some of the things that they've shared to make sure that we understand. But it's also very affirming because the other person knows we've heard them when we can repeat it back.
Yes, this I'm just asking because through my work in ministry, I often get to talk to people who have been hurt or traumatized. So this is like a lesson for me. I appreciate this insight. Okay, so and then what happened?
We were praying with her. We were talking with her. And then a week went by between times that we saw her, and she came in. And honestly, when she walked into the room, she was radiant. She just looked so happy and full of joy. And we said, "What happened?" And she said, "I forgave my stepsister." And we said, "You did?" And she said, "Yes." So she just told us how she had this big conversation with God, and she just totally forgave her and released her into the Lord's hands. And so she, you know, she just felt so much joy about that. Then another week went by, and she came in and she said very excitedly, she goes, "You're never going to believe this." And we said, "What happened?" And she said, "I haven't spit up blood for a week." And then more time went by, and she told us, "I haven't spit up blood for a month." And even after we stopped ministering to her, 6 months went by, and she said, "I'm still healed." So we didn't even pray for physical healing. But when she forgave her sister, it makes me emotional. She was healed of something that had plagued her for 40 years, which was that spitting up of blood.
Wow, this is incredible. And of course, it's not big revelation that our physical health is very much connected to our emotional health and our spiritual health. So this is just a great example. So her story, as you were sharing, it made me think of a question. So a lot of times when people, you know, had traumatic experiences, especially early in their life, in their childhood, they tend to block these memories, right? And not maybe even remember them, but yet these memories are very destructive for their lives. So healing of the memories, how is it different from forgetting what happened to you or blocking out what happened to you?
Well, obviously, when people have gone through great trauma, I mean, just to survive, just to make it through, they do block it out. They do compartmentalize. And in some cases, some may even kind of disassociate. And that's a survival mechanism, and they do make it. And if people are, you know, functioning pretty well and experiencing, you know, a degree of joy and have a degree of contentment in life, then that's okay. But when folks are really struggling, that's when, you know, they seek help. And that's why, you know, we pray for whatever root cause, if there is a root memory, for the Holy Spirit to reveal that. It's funny, sometimes things that are buried, they may not be right in the immediate consciousness of the person, but they still are impacting that person.
Can you give me an example of someone else that you have taken through this experience where you were able to transform their memory from, I mean, does it mean that you're transforming that memory from being negative into something positive?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, I mean, without being unrealistic or kind of denying facts of what happened, but the point is, whatever has happened, God can redeem and restore it. A guy came to me, he was a guy from, actually, he grew up in Guatemala, and he said, he came alone, he said, "I have a beautiful wife and beautiful daughters, and they love me. But for some reason, I cannot love them back. Something is preventing me from loving them back. Something is blocking me." And so after talking with him further, I did these three R's. I did just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show any root memory. What came to him was a memory. He grew up in a small village in Guatemala. He remembered always wanting to go to the circus when it came to town. But his dad would yell at him, "Would a circus buy you milk? Would a circus buy you bread?" He said, no, Dad, no." And so he ran out and was so sad he couldn't go to the circus. He climbed high up on a tree and stayed there all day. They looked for him. They brought the police to find him. He stayed in that tree all day. When nightfall came, he came down from the tree, came into the house. And when the dad saw him, the dad ran to him and beat him the worst beating he had ever gotten. So this was obviously a very difficult memory for him to kind of relive. And that's the second R, is for him to remain in that memory. But then finally, I said, Jesus, I ask you to show yourself to this man in this memory. I pray this in Jesus' name. And then I was just quietly praying for him. And it was quiet for a long time. And then all of a sudden, he just started weeping and weeping and heaving and sobbing. And he said, people will let you down. He said, people will let you down. But Jesus, he will never let you down. And then he just started shouting, I forgive my mother and father. I forgive my mother and father. Over and over again. He's just shouted that. And he was able to go. A kind of dam had broken, and rivers of living water were then able to flow from him to his wife, to his daughters. And I didn't know what caused it. You know, sometimes we could spend, you know, months in counseling, kind of searching and poking around, but the Holy Spirit knew with precision where to go. So did the memory change? Well, no, the facts are the facts. Those things really happened, but the devil was not getting the final say in the matter. Jesus was.
This is very powerful. And that's why I feel like it is so important, you know, when people turn to therapy, making sure that whoever is helping them through that process is on the same page with them spiritually, because we can never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner healing. So earlier we talked about the fact that this can be done not necessarily by a licensed therapist or counselor, but even by someone, a lay person, so to speak, who is trained maybe in advance and led by the Holy Spirit. But let me ask you this, is this something a person can do for themselves?
I think that the best way to do it is with other people. And the scripture that I base that on is, confess your sins and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So it doesn't mean that you can't find healing by yourself, but ideally when we come together, you know, two are better than one. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So there's power in coming together as Christians. And we've found that it provides a wonderful arena for healing.
If someone, you know, I think if someone wants to try the three R's, root cause, remain, and then reveal, it's possible they could have another one person just quietly interceding for them or holding their hand. And then they could kind of do it themselves and just pray three prayers. Lord, show me any root cause or root memory of what's happening. Help me to remain there. And then the final thing is, Lord, I ask you to reveal yourself to me. Show me whatever you want. And it's not really results. It's not kind of just kind of results oriented. It's also just trusting the process. And because some people get afraid, well, what if nothing happens? Or, you know, so I agree with what Diane said.
So how would someone know that this is what they need? Suppose, you know, and we talked about this earlier, suppose they block those memories from their mind and they don't even know that they have memories that need to be healed. What are the telling signs or symptoms of those painful memories?
Well, first, what I would say is people will often ask us, do I have to get every single bad thing healed that ever happened to me? And that can just feel completely overwhelming. And we've also found that the answer to that question is no, you don't have to get every single thing healed, but the Holy Spirit knows the things that need to be healed. And what we have also found is if, let's say somebody, you know, has an anger problem and they find themselves getting, you know, angry or furious in situations that don't really merit the anger, and that's happening to them, you know, on a regular basis, then there's probably something there that needs to be healed. And usually these things are revealed through your emotions, whether it could be intense anger, it could be shame, It could be just deep sadness that won't go away. I would say it's when you feel like you're up against a wall and you can't get past it, you can't get around it, and you just feel stuck.
Or even the problems in relationships, like in the case of the gentleman that Perry was talking about, where he didn't have the ability to connect or express love with the people that are close to him. Would you say that depression sometimes is connected to those painful memories as well?
Yeah, I think if someone is experiencing depression, it's not always, inner healing prayer that is what should be used, but often just a sense of detachment, withdrawal, hopelessness, lack of energy, motivation. What's wonderful about this is that the Holy Spirit is in charge. And so it's not a wild goose chase. Whatever he wants to reveal and whatever the person's ready for, whatever like they're ready to see shown to them, is what he will reveal. So I would say, Helen, yes, for depression too, it could just be a great medium for healing.
So for the sake of our listeners, if they wanted to get in touch with you and explore the healing of their memories, how would they go about it?
We have a website. They can contact us through the website, and that's just amazingmarriages.com.
I will put the information and the link in the show notes so that it will be easy for them just to click on the link. Any final words that you would like to share with our listeners?
I would just say that it is the Lord's will to heal them. And, scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And obviously that's for men and women. And that's why Jesus came, is to set us free. So it is 100% God's will to set you free, because when you're set free, not only do you experience joy, but you can also help other people and the Holy Spirit can work through you more freely.
I love that. This sounds very hopeful. And really, through Jesus, all things are possible. And even our deepest hurts and deepest pains and the tiniest broken pieces in our lives can be all put together. And I thank you so much for what you're doing for the body of Christ and also sharing Christ through this. I really, really appreciate what you're doing. And thank you for coming on this interview.
Thank you for having us, Helen.
Thank you, Helen, for having us.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is the truth that I want you to be able to know for yourself. If you do not have that sense of freedom in your life, don't settle. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is blocking it. Ask the Father to guide you to someone who can pray with you. And finally, you can connect with Perry and Diane Dodge and seek their help. Again, their website is amazingmarriages.com. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Limitless Spirit. Would you say a prayer for our ministry this week as we host the Greater Purpose Conference? It is happening right now, and we are expecting God to show up and reveal himself to us in a mighty way. Don't forget to check our website, rfwma.org, and learn more about World Missions Alliance and how we can help you connect to your greater purpose in life. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Helen Todd.
Limitless Spirit is produced by World Missions Alliance. If you believe in the importance of the Great Commission, sharing Christ around the world and helping those in need, check out our website, rfwma.org. If you liked what you heard, consider supporting the Limitless Spirit podcast by going to rfwma.org/give. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform and leave us a review. Tune in next week for another exciting episode.